Our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 441, 441, the second stanza. Recall no more the sins we have committed. The second stanza, 441. Scriptures can be found in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 38. Psalm 38. But before the 12 articles and after the Lord's Day, 4 out of the Heidelberg Catechism.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 38, a song of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Lord's Day 4, Question 9. Doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? Answer. Not at all, for God made man capable of performing it. But man, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Question 10. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer. By no means, but is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in his just judgment temporally and eternally, as he hath declared, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Question 11. Is not God then also merciful? Answer. God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore his justice requires that sin which is committed against the Most High majesty of God, be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul.
Let's seek to pray the Lord in prayer. Lord, a serious subject, your origin of evil, and that evil shouldn't go unpunished. For thou art surely merciful, but also righteous. One or the other should be punished, Christ or his people. And now Christ instead of his people. Not let sin be unpunished, but thou hast punished them to thy own dear Son to pay the penalty. To die is a life, to be raised, for he paid it. And to sit at the right hand of his Father to get his people together, to gather them by word and spirit from the four corners of this world, to inherit the eternal kingdom of peace. And that we might be gathered also today, that thy work might be seen among us of gathering sinners out of darkness to thy marvelous light, to thy glorious light, to the everlasting light. Lord, remember us. Open the scriptures unto us, and be not afar off, but near to us. To instruct us in our souls, to teach us the ways thou hast provided, the way into salvation which is thy dear Son alone. Remember sick and afflicted, the weak, the blind and the crippled, those who have no husband anymore, or the orphans or half orphans, the sick at home, in the hospital, the broken marriages, those who promise and can't pay, those who swerve away. Lord, in thy good mercy, gather us into thyself, by thy word and spirit also this night, as we have to acknowledge we have sinned. And thy arrows are in us. Therefore, Lord, we plead upon the promises of the gospel. Now knowest thine own. Oh, knowest in Christ Jesus alone. Open the scriptures, remember our government in this village or in this town, in our province, and our federal government, the Queen, all those who are in authority, that we might have a peaceable life, render them mercy. Lord, take away sin publicly. And so many children are murdered in the womb, so many old in age have no medicine anymore because they are too costly. And young children, when they are not like we are, seem to be a burden of society. Where is the compassion? Where is the compassion with those who can defend themselves? Lord, let us not be left to our own, but have mercy upon us. We ask it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, the question always is, where comes evil? From where comes evil? Sin. If God has created the world good, where comes evil from? What's the origin of sin? It's always been a question. Some deny even that there is an origin of sin. But where comes sin from? Well, question 9 says it clearly. Does not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? God created the man righteous. But where comes sin from then? For we cannot obey like we should. Now God made man capable in the state of righteousness or state of innocence, performing it. But man, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. I'll speak this night about the demons, the devil. It's a spiritual power. The origin of the devil is the diabolos, he who turns always the things around, truth to lie, faithfulness to unfaithfulness. The diabolos is he who turns things around. Always around. Always. I'll speak about it in a sense. In the first place, we have to think that God made not only man, he created angels, spiritual beings. We always think that what we see is the only thing that there is under heaven. But that's not true. The powers in the air, angels and demons, we live in a world of demons and protecting angels under the grace of God. We call it darkness. Now, while we will look at the instigation of the devil and our own willful disobedience, but let's first sing about our sin. 12, 1 through 4. Lord, rebuke me not in anger. And what's following?
Thank you.
origin of sin doesn't start on the earth. It didn't start on the earth. It started in heaven. When Lucifer, the angel of light, rebelled against God. And therefore the Catechism says, by the instigation of the devil, of the diabolos, the fallen angel, Lucifer, the angel of light, the so-called angel of light. The Lord Jesus speaks about him when he speaks in Luke 10. He has sent his disciples into the world, the 70, to preach in the cities of Israel. And when they came back, they said, even the devils were subordinate by us, under our authority. And then the Lord Jesus says something which you should really know. And he said unto them, Luke 10:18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I have seen him fallen out of heaven. The second person of the Trinity has seen the devil fallen out of heaven. What does it mean? Well, the devil tried to establish and has established since the fall of man the kingdom of darkness. He fell upon heaven. He was thrown out of heaven. And as the angel of light, he fell upon the earth, I have to say. On the earth. Out of heaven. What does the Lord Jesus mean by it? He says, God governs. He threw the devil out of heaven. He is all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, I gave you authority over them. In preaching and dealing. I've seen it, he says. I was present even the time. Means, I was present when the devil fell out of heaven. I've seen it, he says, the word of God. So in heaven there was a rebellion against God by Lucifer, the angel of light. And God threw him out of heaven on earth. Conquered him. No, not. It will be conquered. And do you know what the devil did? He was the adversary of the apple of the eye of man created in the image of God. He lost the battle in heaven and he wanted to win the battle on earth. And it seemed to be that he did. By the instigation of the devil. And he took the weakest vessel, Eve, which had not heard the command of God not to eat of the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, and beguiled her. Jude, so the letter of Jude or Judas, Jude, writes about the demon's death. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, was heaven. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. The fallen angels can never be converted. Everlasting chains of darkness. You know what I feel now? I shouldn't preach about the devil. The devil doesn't like if you preach about him. He says, shh, shh, not too bad, not too bad, not too bad. But they didn't keep the first estate. They were chained with darkness. Therefore it's called the Prince of Darkness. This has come over this world. And do you know what the devil does? Well, in 2 Corinthians 14, Paul says this. For Satan itself transformed or is transformed in an angel of light. A very religious being. The teacher of many idols has a theology of more than 6,000 years. An angel of light, says Paul. He comes under the pretense of being God. And when Christ establishes his church, the devil establishes his chapel. And start preaching too. When the whole church is in darkness, the devil says, leave them. They sleep anyways. But if there is someone who is stronger than the devil, you start awakening. And he comes always to you in a religious sense. But half truth. Not a blatant lie. He has said to Eve, if you eat from God knows, he said, if you eat from this tree, you will be as God. In a sense, it's true. Later the Lord says, they were and are like us, knowing good and evil. But he pretended that you would be like God. And I said last week, in ourselves we want to be a God. Worshipped, honored, ruling, hating God and our nature, our neighbor. My dear congregation, under this darkness, the world is in darkness. And when the Lord Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, and you would never have thought that the Pharisees, listen, religious, very, very religious people, legalists, very religious. You couldn't blame them. They called themselves Pharisees, and Pharisees means separated from the people who don't know the law. Now listen what the Lord Jesus said about it. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was the murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth. There you have it, fallen. He didn't abide in truth. Because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of all lies. Do you know what he said to the Pharisees? Ye are of your father the devil. Very religious, very secure, very legal, religious people. They are the devil in a body. You're of the Father, you devil. You're speaking a lie that you can preserve your own righteousness and keep it. Therefore, congregation, we must be aware that the devil mostly works in church. The world he has already. And they're under the rule of darkness. But he tries to get the church, this church, your soul. For he's a liar from the beginning. Do you know what the Bible even says? He has stolen in John 10. Let's read John 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill. John 10:10. And destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep it are not, sees the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catch them and scatter the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I know mine, as the Father knows me. Even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it, and I jump some text words from me, but I lay down it myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from God. My dear congregation, this is what the Lord Jesus says, that the devil is a liar and a thief from the beginning. First he stole man, and then he murders man. He stole them to worship the angel of light, and then he murders them with an everlasting murder. Congregation, John 10, the thief, that's the devil, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy everlastingly. But I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. My dear congregation, this is the environment in which we live. Christ made the kingdom of light in the midst of darkness. And we willfully obey the devil. Beguiled was Eve. And if we are not born again, we still do, religiously or worldly. There's no difference. All have sinned. And in paradise, man had a free will. Not now. Now we are bound. We live in the bondage of the will. But in paradise, we had a free will. And do you know, I've said it last week and I say it again, when Eve ate, she trembled and feared. And Adam knew it. And he still willfully ate of the tree of good and evil of the fruit. Willfully and purposely. Now, you say to me, yeah, but Pastor, I'm not Adam. You're Adam. If you sin by nature, you do it willfully and purposely. Don't say, I can't help it. We willfully and purposely sin unless we are born again. We have an evil desire to lie and to sin. Total depraved. Corrupt to the bottom. And I know, congregation, if you hear these things, it's not such a nice preaching. I can see that you say, I'm not coming back. Do you know why? You don't want to be a sinner. You don't want to be Adam. All I am is Adam. And you have sinned, and I have sinned. Listening to the angel of light, who turns the truth of God to a lie. The faithfulness of God make him unfaithful. The love of God turns to hatred. That God is the cause of our sins. Then we have a cause. And my dear congregation, if God works somewhere in a congregation, the devil has no rest. Day and night. Luther said he has arrows and always points to the pulpit. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Go away. Let him be, let him be, let him be. Don't listen to him, that black man. That preacher that always speaks about sin. Don't listen to him. I have a better gospel. God is love and he saves everyone. Yeah, God is righteous, but love wins. Oh, yeah. Or, either is no hope. There's no hope for you. You've sinned, and now I want to murder you, and even in John 10:10, bring you to hell, where I will be. Go with me. I can be converted, and you can be converted too. That's what he preaches. You've done too much evil. May I ask you, if you're a child of God, has he ever tried you? And said, make an end. Curse God and die. And when you would do it, and what good, and if God doesn't prevent it, it happens soon. You're always attacked. Do you know what he says to you? Probably this week he said to you, you have sinned against the Holy Spirit. There is no grace for you anymore. Probably he did it this week. It's over with you. Too late. I always feel that if you preach about the Bible concerning the demons, but there's not only one devil. Some people say, I fought with the devil. There's only one devil, eh? And he is time and place. The devil is not everywhere present. There's one Lucifer, the head of the devils. But under his dominion are demons. Demons. And sometimes I don't know the difference between spiritual sickness and being demonized. I don't know. Sometimes I think that people who are spiritual sick are just demonized under the power of the Prince of Darkness, which shines forth sometimes as an angel of light. Don't bother by convictions. Don't let the minister preach your condemnation. There are better texts in the Bible. Don't be bothered by it. Come. I'll give you the whole world. Jump from the tin of the temple and God will prevent you. Try your God and he won't answer you. He has theological schools of general redemption. He has theological schools where he teaches that everyone is redeemed already, only you have to get to know it. And he even believes that Judas was saved. And it's taught on the universities today. Or Arminians. Make your choice. You can make a choice for the good. And he knows. He betrays you. Lies to you. Brings you to darkness. But we like it, eh? And we say, yeah, there is hope. There is hope. I've met people in my churches during all the ministry years which were never converted, but if I talked to them, they said, I have hope. I said, which hope? The Bible says there is a hope of a spider in a web. When God comes, he takes the web away. If Christ is not your hope. May I ask you, if you get to know God in Christ, you get to know the devil and the tricks of the devil and the darkness of the devil and the power of the devil. Like Eve in paradise. And he says, sin is not so bad. We're all sinners. Don't bother. God is love. No judgment. No hell. Even Karl Barth says no hell. Tim Keller, he tries to preach the truth. I'm saying it. But Tim Keller says that there is no hell. No hell. General redemption. My dear congregation, I have a dear friend in Yugoslavia. He said he fought literally with me to get me killed. But Christ stood with me and overcame him. And everyone is in peace, says the Lord Jesus. When you're in the rule of the devil, there's no sorrow, no. But if one comes stronger than him, that's Christ, you get uproar in churches, splits, fights. Oh no, we have such a good church, no problem. Oh yeah? You have a problem. For he came to divide father against mother, children against parents, darkness against light, and light against darkness. That's the times in which we live. And do you know what we do by nature? The will of the devil. And do you know what we like? Half-truth. The devil never comes with a blatant lie. He comes always with half-truth. Half, is it that God has said? Making doubts. Questioning. the diabolos. He turns around truth in half a lie. A half lie is worse than a whole lie in the church. For in a half lie is some truth. But a blatant lie has no truth. And he lies from the beginning, for no truth is in him. My dear congregation, I believe that Christ is mightier than the Prince of Darkness. And he draws his people out of the power of darkness to his marvelous light. And then they see the difference between the true light and the false light. The true lie, the real lie, and the truth. For I am the truth, the way, and the life. Let's first sing 172, 1 and 2. 172, 1 and 2. Praise waits in Zion. Lord, for thee there will be prayer vow. And what's following? 172, 1 and 2. So if you have fallen, what now? And we are totally depraved, we are unclean. And therefore man fell by his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of divine gifts to obey. We're in bondage by Satan and sin, and unable to set us free. Unless one is coming who is stronger than the devil. 10. Will God suffer such a disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? That's another question. Why does God need to punish if we are beguiled by the devil? No. Willful sin, Adam, head of the covenant of works, or the covenant of creatures. Yeah, but does God need to punish? Why? I'm not always punishing my children. Does God need to punish? Can't he just forget about it? Like I sometimes forget about it. Again, to escape punishment, we seek God not to punish me, although I sinned. A willful disobey still. No, by no means. Meganointer. But is terribly displeased with our original as well actual sins. There you have it, what we dealt with morning. Our well doesn't bring forth good fruit. Our nature depraved. No one to do is good. And our actual sins, the actual sins come from our evil nature. We've seen this morning, God gives the actual sins to Christ if you're a Christian, and he covers your evil nature by the holy nature of Christ. Here. And you will be released of your evil nature in the cemetery. But not earlier. But he covers it. And he doesn't see it. He looks upon Jesus when you're a Christian. Upon the Lord. But these sins must be punished. God is righteous. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. The Ebal and the Gerizim. The Gerizim was the mountain of blessings. But the Ebal was Ebal. I don't know if I pronounce it proper. But the Ebal was the mountain of curse. And at the end of the mountain of curse, when all the sins are cursed on the Ebal, when the Lord is cursing every sin, then in the last text verse, he says, Deuteronomy 26, 27, verse 26, cursed is he that conformeth not at the word of his law, of this law, to do them. And all the people shall say, have grace. No. Amen. Cursed! Amen! No. No. Oh, that's not the Bible. Yeah, that's the Bible. That's the Bible applied to your soul. Amen. Amen. Cursed. And therefore Paul doesn't know a wonder of all wonders when Christ was cursed instead of him at the cross, not knowing else than Christ and him crucified, who was cursed with my curse, that I would receive his blessings. But do you know what Ebal says? First, amen. I never give it up. I fight it. Okay. I read it again. Cursed is he that confirms not all the word of this law. To do them. To do them. And all the people shall say, amen. I'm not saying they will say amen, but they should say amen. Your preaching is always the same. What shall I preach else than Christ and Him crucified? Do you not want to know something else? Do you seek your own obedience? Then you are cursed. And the people say, how I speak to you. Would you say amen? Yeah, I would say. I've seen. And there you bow your head. Christ bowed his head at the cross. Amen. Amen. But God raised him as a cover for my sin and his blood. He gave up the ghost and bowed his head. Oh, he bowed his head under my curse. It was cursed that I might be blessed. And God punishes temporally. The unbeliever, he punishes temporally. But they don't listen. Pharaoh was punished temporally, but he was hardened and hardening his heart, and later he hardened his heart. And when he comes for the judgment seat of Christ, Christ will say, I warned you, but you didn't listen. But if God in his grace chastised his people, he brings them to be guilty. Hezekiah, sickness. And he turned his face to the wall and said, God, will be my goel, my cover, my savior. He made the blind man blind. For he wasn't blind from his birth. He was made blind. And then they say, why was he made blind? And Christ said, to see the wonderful works of God, to give him light, new light. Look into me. And then eternally, if you're not converted, not reconciled with God, an everlasting fire will burn in your soul. You'll gnash your teeth and eat your tongue. Especially you. You will say, had I, but too late, too late. All time to be converted is now. And the people say, amen. And then the amen says, Christ is the amen, isn't it? I found a ransom for you. I am he. Is God not merciful? There's another escape. Is God not merciful then? Always preaching condemnation? Can we shelter under His mercifulness? Is God not merciful then? You hear the objection already here? When I preach condemnation, was that sound in your heart? Is God not merciful then? You're not easy saying amen. Me not too. Fought to the last teeth. But God won the battle. His justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with the extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. God is merciful. But he requires payment, punishment, everlasting punishment. And I know, congregation, I'm already continuing, but I can't stop it. You are a man, Christ Jesus, who was everlastingly punished in time with hell, the cross. To satisfy the righteous requirements of God's justice. And when he bowed his head, he cried out loudly, "It is finished." God is satisfied. He said in Psalm 40 in the Old Testament already, "I come to do thy will, to suffer, to give my life as a ransom for many." And their righteousness and peace are kissing together. God is satisfied and they are merciful. And that's established for eternity. An eternal salvation. And therefore in Isaiah 55 he says, "Come ye and buy without price, on my expense." Come, he said, come. For my Father is satisfied. And I'm not giving you water, I'll give you wine and glory to God. Peace on earth in the children of his good pleasure who surrendered their life, losing it at his feet, gaining it in Christ again. For everyone who loses his life will gain it, and who wants to protect it will lose it. And if we don't understand the cross anymore today because we are so nice, and we are so humanly nicely, we are probably servants of the angel of light and say, "No problem. Don't speak about judgment too much. Don't point to sin and the wrath of God." There was one in church once when I started 47 years ago. He said, "In your church and your preaching, you're never converted." I said, "No, that's right. Christ is my conversion. That's it. You're right. You're right. He is my faith and my faithfulness, my love and my peace. And I'm a sinner saved by righteous grace. By a paid ransom, by a satisfied righteousness, by a peace that surpasses all understanding." What will it be if you have to die outside of Jesus? Worst is coming. You might suffer bodily, you might suffer spiritually. You might be in danger. But oh, my dear congregation, if your last sigh of breath is outside of the Lord Jesus. What a day. Everlastingly. But if your last sigh is in Jesus, and when your tears are wiped off by his soft cloth, because he says, Father, I paid for him. What a glorious day. The best day you can ever imagine. Don't sleep your death sleep, but awake, for the time has come. Now pass the year, pass by your last question. It ends with judgment. You're right. But I can't leave you this week without him that satisfied the righteous requirements of God. We might be not seeing each other again. Then for the judgment seat of Christ. And then I'm free of your blood. I warned you. I exhorted you. I can give you grace, that's true. But I preached unto you Christ and him crucified. To God be the glory. Everlastingly and everlastingly. May God bless his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thou art faithful to thyself. Thou art in Christ, thy dear Son, reconciling the world to thyself and applying it by the word of the gospel. And we pray. Ah, Lord, I can't come to the hearts. A heart can come to the ears, for there is a tendency not to listen to these things. They are too problematic. We can't handle it. Unless, as is given grace, to bow on the Mount Ebal. Amen. This is truth. Amen. Cursed. Lord, shine upon the congregation, please, with an everlasting light, the light of the world, that takes away the power of darkness, draws us, O Father, of the darkness of this world, to the glorious light in thy dear Son. Forgive our sins in preaching and hearing. And if we have listened while we were preaching to the devil, stop our ears and open thy truth. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing lastly 230, 6 and 7, 230, 6 and 7. Now truth agrees with mercy mild. Now law and peace are reconciled in what's following. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God. The love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.